On the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this May 8th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Another beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area. We appreciate you being with us and got a fun show on tap for you today. A couple of great guests will be with us on the show. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us. Coming up at 2:30, he will be with us as he normally is on Thursdays. We'll be talking baseball with him. Auburn baseball getting started against South Carolina tonight. We will have that conversation coming up for you in just a little bit. Again, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us at 2:30. Then we'll also have a special guest in hour number two. Normally Chris Gordy at 3:30, but he is unavailable today, so we'll pick back up with him next week. But we're going to have Dylan Cardwell, our final Tiger Takes interview of the year. He's normally that aired during the drive every day, or every week rather, during basketball season, but I was able to catch up with him one more time today and kind of do a full recap with him, and so that'll be coming up at 3:30, and a whole lot more fun on the show this afternoon. Joining me in the studio, as he does every day, my man Christian Griffin. How are you? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Yeah, man, excited to get back into this, starting the day off with a little bit more of the conversations of the 247, the sports projected win totals for the SEC and the Big Ten. You feel like we could spend an entire week diving into that and being able to talk about all of that, but got about halfway through. We'll dive into a little bit more. The top half of those teams' win projected totals, I think we got to the 6.5, maybe 7.5 mark. We'll get to that here as we kick off the show. Going to talk a little bit of Auburn baseball in there as well as we get to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Headset not working out, not treating very well.
Geez, man, I think somebody tied in a freaking knot.
But no, Brad Law joining us at 2:30, as you mentioned. Thoughts on his thoughts on the rotation with the changes being made with keeping Dutton on Friday, and then kind of the conversation of what's more important this weekend, in particular the mound versus the plates, especially, again, against this South Carolina team where you feel like you need to. You could very easily get three, and you feel like that would be, obviously, the best-case scenario, but really excited to dive into all this here in hour number one.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we want you to be a part of it today. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. Be on the show. Be on the line. 334-321-1390. That number is 334-321-1390 if you want to call in and be a part of the show, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1390. 1067, your thoughts on what we're talking about, if you have a prediction for baseball this weekend, if you agree or disagree with some of these win totals that we're going to jump back into, anything on your mind that you want to talk about, we are here for you. 334-321-1390. Did get a very important text to the private line, aka my personal cell phone number, and I saw this man this morning and want to have a quick shout out for our man Uncle T-Bone. Turned the big 5-0 today.
Woo!
Happy birthday to the man Uncle T-Bone. He's out there somewhere working hard, I'm sure, and so hear that or enjoying a cold snack, one of the two, or maybe both.
Both on hole 16.
Yes. Yes, he is an avid golfer, a better friend, and somebody that we just love around the radio stations.
Yeah.
That does great work with Sense Agree, great sponsor with us here at Auburn Network. And so, happy 50th birthday to Uncle T-Bone, and he is wearing it proudly. He doesn't look a day over 48. So, we appreciate him and all the work he's done, and happy birthday to Uncle T-Bone. All right, let's jump back into this, Christian, because
yeah,
we got into it, and it took us a little bit longer yesterday than I was thinking it would, and I should have known that it was going to take us a while, but that's okay, because it is the updated win total projections from FanDuel for the SEC and the Big Ten combined. And we had gone through, as you said, we worked all the way from the bottom at 3.5 total wins for teams like Mississippi State, Northwestern, and Purdue. We got all the way to teams making a bowl game at 6.5 wins, teams like Oklahoma, Florida, and beyond. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers, I said Minnesota's going to go under. I said they're going to fire PJ Fleck, and they'll finally move on from Sweater Vest. We also talked about that Florida team and their schedule. And I don't know if you saw Josh Pate put out a video about Florida. I think it was today or late last night, where he said if any team were to go 9-3 with that Florida schedule this year, they should be in the college football playoff.
Without any sort of argument. Again, we dove into it yesterday, but you have teams like LSU, Miami, and Texas. Those were three preseason top 15 teams. Oh, by the way, also Georgia, Ole Miss, and Tennessee on the schedule in there as well. That in itself is already six games that you feel like are a halfway coin flip for the Florida Gators. And again, if you win three, you lose three, you win the other six. That puts you at 9-3. That would put you up there with one of the toughest schedules in the country, the RPI. I know that the baseball term, but for college football, you feel like it goes right into it as well. With the teams, you expect LSU, Miami, and Texas all to be 8, 9, 10, if not more than that, winning teams. This year, Georgia and Ole Miss and Tennessee obviously in those conversations right at the top as well. And so, yeah, you feel like 9-3, even 8-4, wildly enough, you feel like would save Billy Napier's job for the second straight year, if it's not already been saved from what he was able to do the back half of the season this past year.
And now we move into the teams who sit at a projected 7.5 total wins for 2025 in college football.
We also have, I know you mentioned it, Minnesota was your team that you guaranteed to go under.
Yes.
Oklahoma was my guarantee to go over, at least initially. So
okay.
We both still have
the opposite.
One more, yes.
I have a team to go over, you have a team to go under.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So now we get to 7.5 wins. Again, these are from FanDuel. It's in a 247 article. You can play along if you would like. These are the teams in the SEC and the Big Ten who are projected to have, or their win total is 7.5. So you can to win some money hypothetically for entertainment purposes with Monopoly money. You can either bet on them to go over and get 8, or you can bet on them to go under and get 7 or more or less or whatever.
And this is all via FanDuel.
Yes, yeah. These are the FanDuel odds, and there are 100 other sports books you can use. It's just the one we went with, okay? USC is in there at 7.5. Still weird to say that they are a Big Ten school, but that's how it is. USC at 7.5. Lincoln Riley in his 18th season as the head coach of USC, and they have still yet to be relevant out there. They have a 7.5 win total projection. Texas A&M has a 7.5 win total projection. Iowa is at 7.5. Nebraska is at 7.5. Missouri, Illinois, South Carolina, Washington are all at 7.5. And oh, by the way, Auburn's at 7.5 as well.
You look at USC, just the team that you highlighted initially, you feel like that should be a guaranteed over just because of the schedule that they have to start everything off. You have Missouri State, you have Georgia Southern, you have Purdue, who's projected to win 3.5 games. You then have Michigan State, who's projected, 4.5, I believe, on this, if not somewhere around that. Five and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Illinois, who's kind of in the mix right there as well. If you can start 5-0, you feel like you're in a great spot. You win 3 of those next games. But then that's where things get a whole lot tougher. You host Michigan, you then go to Notre Dame, you go to Nebraska before hosting Northwestern. That should be a win. You then host Iowa, go to Eugene, and then you go 8 minutes down the road to UCLA. And so you feel like if you can get off to that 5-0 start, it should be a guaranteed over. That being said, I don't know if I trust Lincoln Riley in their defense, which I know that they've made some big-time upgrades. That's been a key point of emphasis, but it's almost kind of the same thing that many people are saying here on the Plains. Until you get the proof on the field, the proof of concept, until it shows, I'm not going to buy into it, and I don't know if I will either.
And you look at just some more teams on this list. How about Texas A&M is in there? You have Mike Elko now in going into another year at Texas A&M. Sounds like Marcel Reed's going to be the guy at quarterback there who they are going to rely on. And the fact that Texas A&M, not this team in particular, the coach or anything, just the brand, the team, Texas A&M, their win total is only 7.5. It shows how far behind they were and how far they have to come. And, you know, their schedule isn't crazy, but there are some games that they're going to be tested this season. And 7.5, I genuinely don't know.
7.5, you feel like for an SEC team that like Texas A&M or like Auburn, you feel like there's always that one game, the non-conference game, that makes you where it doesn't feel like it should be easily 8.5. You'd sit there, if your win total is 8.5 rather than 7.5, you feel like you're in a much better spot. But for some reason, and it's what we've talked about with this Auburn team and just college football in general, 7 wins versus 8 wins, there is such a big threshold in between those two numbers. So you look at what Notre Dame, or what, spoiler alert, you look at what Texas A&M has, they have Notre Dame in week 3. That's that non-conference game where you kind of feel like, okay, could that be what's holding them back? Possibly for Auburn as well. That Baylor game is something you look at. So many of these really, really good SEC football teams that you feel like are a little bit low are because of some of these non-conference games. Again, Texas A&M goes to Notre Dame in week 3, which could be a fascinating matchup. And again, I love Marcel Reed. It was somebody we talked about a lot late in the year this past season. And man, if he builds the confidence that he was able to have, he could be a very, very dangerous player for A&M.
Just looking at it on paper, I mean, I count 7 wins fairly easily for Texas A&M. UTSA, Utah State, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Missouri, South Carolina, Samford. That's 7 wins right there. So you're telling me that in year 2 under Mike Elko, all they have to do is either beat Auburn at home, beat Florida at home, beat LSU on the road, or beat Texas on the road? That's all they have to do is get one of those games and they go over their win total?
Or if they steal one at Notre Dame.
Or they steal one at Notre Dame. Like, that doesn't seem crazy to me. It really doesn't. And so, do I dare say that this is the team that I guarantee to go over this year? Because I don't see how they can't. Just steal one and beat the teams you're supposed to, or if you drop one of those, beat 2 teams that you're, quote, not supposed to. I mean, who says that they won't be favored when Auburn comes to town on September 27th? I think a lot of that depends on how Auburn plays against Baylor in week 1 of the season and how A&M looks in the game against Notre Dame. Now, those games are back-to-back, but there's a bye week squeezed in between there.
Yeah.
So Texas A&M gets a bye week before Auburn comes to town. Auburn gets a tune-up game before they come to town.
I was going
to
say, thankfully, yeah, there's a couple tune-up games. But, man, you feel like it. Again, you feel like, and again, with the entertainment purposes, I feel like that's where they tease you so much is, oh, there's no way that this shouldn't hit, right?
No way
they only finish with 7. I think that game against South Carolina could be the game that gets them either 7 or 8. I think Lenora Sellers is going to be fantastic for South Carolina this year.
I just think the rest of the team is going to suck. I think the rest of the team is not going to be what they need to be. And we've seen it in college football. Having a good quarterback is great, but you don't have the defense to stop people. They did a year ago, but I don't know, man. South Carolina is one of those teams that I can't quite figure out. And funny enough, South Carolina's in this 7.5 win total conversation too. Teams from the SEC who are projected to get 7.5 wins over or under, South Carolina is in there, Missouri, Auburn, and Texas A&M. That's 5, right? That's 5 teams from the SEC where their win total is sitting at 7.5 right now. Of those teams, because we're going to talk about Auburn here in just a second, of those 5 teams from the SEC, which one has the best chance to go over and which one has the best chance to go under? It's kind of a side conversation to what we're talking about here. Auburn, Texas A&M, Missouri, South Carolina, and there's one more, right? South Carolina. I'm confusing myself here. Missouri, Texas A&M, Auburn. Oh, maybe there's only 4. Okay, there's only 4. Sorry. There's 4 teams that have a 7.5 win total projection. So, again, which one has the best chance to go over? Which one has the best chance to go under? I'll take Texas A&M to go over and South Carolina to go under.
I'll save my guaranteed over for the team we're about to talk about. I'm going to say that I think South Carolina could also be a team that goes over. I just think that they're going to surprise some people. The game at Virginia Tech to start off the year is going to be very, very critical. But then you have South Carolina State before you play Vanderbilt. I think they beat Vanderbilt at worst, move to 2-1. I think they beat Missouri. I think they could beat Kentucky. That could be a 5-0 start for Shane Beamer in South Carolina. Now you get into LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss.
All four losses.
Very easily could be four losses. I think you could beat Texas A&M. I told you, I think that game could be.
Is that in Columbia?
It is not. It's in Aguilands. It's just going to be a very tough place. I think South Carolina beats Coastal, and I think it's a rock fight between Clemson and South Carolina. Not my guaranteed to go over, but I would not be surprised if they're in a very similar spot to where they were last year, looking from the outside in come late November.
You mentioned Virginia Tech. This is completely random. Did you see what happened at their stadium last night?
Yeah, the small earthquake.
An earthquake because Metallica performed, and they performed Enter Sandman, which is Virginia Tech's theme song, as they come into the stadium. And apparently the fans went so ballistic that they caused a minor earthquake at Virginia Tech.
It's a shame that there's such a cool college football tradition for a team that just hasn't done anything.
Which
as
is
of
so crazy. I mean, they haven't been relevant since Michael Vick.
They get the ESPN primetime game simply because of the introduction.
And the environment. Which is so criminal because I love their colors.
Thankfully, nobody says that they can say that about Auburn, about having a great tradition but not a great football team, right?
Well, we don't get primetime games. So,
Friday in Waco,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, baby. Whole country's watching. What about Missouri in this category? Because 7.5 wins, nobody knows what Missouri's going to be. But in case you haven't noticed, they play 6 straight home games to start the season. I've never seen that. I've seen 5.
Last year, I've never seen six.
In a row to start a college football season. Central Arkansas, Kansas, Louisiana, South Carolina, UMass, and then Alabama before they come to Jordan-Hare. They could easily be 5-1. I don't think it'd be worth anything, but they could be 5-1. I don't trust them to beat Alabama. I don't trust them to beat Auburn. I don't trust them to beat A&M or Oklahoma. That's 4 losses right there. And then Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Arkansas are toss-ups to me.
Missouri's 3-3 coming to Jordan-Hare. They beat Central Arkansas, Louisiana, and UMass. They lose to Kansas, South Carolina, and Alabama.
Well, if that's the case, then
Jalen Daniels at Kansas under. After agreeing to a new deal. He was the very first one to do it that started that conversation. I think he's going to be fantastic for the Jayhawks.
Mm. Wow. Missouri may go way under. Maybe that's my team to go under, is Missouri of 7.5. That's pretty crazy. Okay, we'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit about Auburn, talk about some of these other teams on this list. I mean, again, we could go for hours on this. So we're going to try and crank through some of these. We'll have to rapid fire. We'll do that when we come back because Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, joins us at 2:30. That's all coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 as we are slowly, molassesly working our way. Is that an adjective? No. What's it called with the words that end in L-Y? What's that called? Adverb? Is that right?
Yeah.
Journalism. Yeah. Journalism major, baby. Yes, we are slowly and molassesly working our way through. I created that word. I'm claiming it. Working our way through projected win totals post-spring for teams in the SEC and the Big Ten around college football. And Auburn is at 7.5. Auburn is at 7.5, and we are going to talk so much about this throughout the summer, but just quickly here, we understand why it's at 7.5, but you have to go over this year. You have to go over 7.5 for all the reasons we've explained, even up to this point.
The funniest thing about this article, and they agree with everything, it even goes back to Auburn football this past year, every other team has a paragraph about what their projected total is, why they should or why they shouldn't, games that they have scheduled to lose, games they have scheduled to win. Auburn's is, well, Hugh Freeze signed a number of playmakers on both sides and welcomes in a new quarterback, Jackson Arnold, from Oklahoma to the huddle. Auburn will be a breakout team. The over on the win total, and there's a word in there, and it's italicized, and it says feels safe. The over on the win total feels safe. That tells me that if it's any other team other than Auburn that has every sort of talent like this and everything else, there are Auburn's probably 8.5 or 9.5.
Yeah.
But simply because last year's example is the perfect one where everything worked except for the win-loss total. That is the one thing keeping Auburn at 7.5.
I'm with you.
In this article, and you feel like in the general public as well.
Teams that are at 8.5 as we kind of rolled through this, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Indiana, Michigan are all at 8.5. Again, this is SEC and Big Ten combined. I don't know. These are big names right now in college football. And yes, Indiana's a big name. They are coming off a college football playoff berth, and they have a ton of returning talent. Do you know who their quarterback is in Bloomington right now?
I do.
He is the Auburn Slayer. It is Fernando Mendoza, the former Cal quarterback, who is now throwing around the football in Bloomington.
Indiana University, dumping runs, baby.
If it works. He's going to have more talent there than he ever had in California. But you talk about LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Indiana, and Michigan all at 8.5 over under. Somebody's going over and somebody's going under in this category. Most fans would say Indiana's not winning 9 games. Let's go under on them. Then you start looking at somebody like LSU and it's saying you better go over for Brian Kelly to feel comfortable to have his job next year in Baton Rouge.
That's what I was about to say, is if there is not 9 at least, if there is 8 or anything less than that, especially after this past offseason, Brian Kelly walking into the podium saying, yeah, we'll make the playoff this year. Nussmeier hoping to be staying an extra year, hoping to be the number one quarterback in the draft for this upcoming year. If he does not win 9 games in Baton Rouge, take what Notre Dame has done out of the equation. You even feel like that's the case. Then you add to the point of what Notre Dame has done. Oh, yeah, they played for the College Football Playoff National Championship this past year after Brian Kelly said, yeah, I need a new job because I can't do that here at Notre Dame. People in Baton Rouge will not be very happy if LSU is not in a legitimate, not even playoff contention, if they do not see their team as one of the 12 spots.
That's where I was going next, was I'll take it a step further than bare minimum 9 wins. Is it playoff or bust for LSU this year? Because they've put everything into this team, including Garrett Nussmeier. Is it playoff or bust for LSU in 2025? And we say playoff or bust. I'm not saying they would fire Brian Kelly for not making the playoff, but his job would not be safe going into 2026, a.k.a. the season would be considered a failure. He would then be coaching for his job in 2026. I say it is. I say it's playoff or bust for LSU in 2025.
And we talked about it yesterday. Tigers and Tigers, Clemson, week one.
That's so awesome.
At Clemson, at one of the two Death Valleys. I guess there will be bragging rights for a while until
for 364. Something days.
Right, yeah. Until, yeah, for the winter to be able to use. But, man, then you have Florida. You go to Ole Miss. You feel like South Carolina LSU is always a fantastic game. They get that in Baton Rouge. You feel comfortable with them beating Vanderbilt. The A&M game could be a whole lot of fun. And you end the year with Oklahoma. That could be a very, very fun game. That could be a game, I'll say it, that winner could have a legitimate discussion to possibly be in the college football playoff.
LSU, Oklahoma? Really? You're that high on Oklahoma this year?
It's hard not to be.
What did you say? We talked about them yesterday. I think they're 6.5 wins, according to FanDuel. You went over with
them.
That's
my guaranteed over.
That's your guaranteed over, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's not a bad pick. It's not a bad pick. I pulled up Ole Miss's schedule just now to look at what they've got. They go to Kentucky week two, which I'm not worried about the game. It's just the fact that you go to a road game in the SEC week two of the season. Remember, they host Tulane this year, who I don't think is going to be as good. They host LSU. How many is that? 5 of their first 6 games are in Oxford for Ole Miss, including LSU. Washington State is in there
sure.
For whatever reason. Sure, why not? Then, it's really not that bad. They go to Georgia, to Oklahoma. That's tough. They host South Carolina. They host the Citadel. They host Florida. And then they end at Mississippi State, which, by the way, in case you didn't see the announcement today, has been placed on Friday after Thanksgiving at 11 a.m.
Which one?
The Egg Bowl.
Oh.
Yeah, Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, on 11 a.m. on ESPN.
Just like the good Lord always intended it to
Just like
be.
Every fan asked for it yep. to be. No more, why would we want it on Thanksgiving night after our second helping and a drink in hand by the fire when we could watch it on Black Friday at 11 a.m. while most of us are back at work? Good job, guys.
Woo!
Way to go. But tell me where Ole Miss doesn't win games in this schedule. I mean, I don't know. They're going to go 4-0. Good chance to beat LSU at home. They'll beat Washington State.
Or will Kentucky find a way to beat them again?
That'd be so awesome. That'd be so funny. But yeah, I forgot they beat them in Oxford last year.
Yeah.
No, Lane will drop, he'll drop 100 on those cats. You split
one. Question mark without Jackson Dart, though. And Trey Harris?
It's true. Yeah. I guess I'm looking at this more from the schedule perspective than the actual Ole Miss team. I mean, you luck into a win at either Georgia or Oklahoma. You beat South Carolina, the Citadel. You're going to beat Mississippi State. They're terrible. I mean, and then you take Florida. Like, 8.5 doesn't seem crazy, but I've lost fake money on Ole Miss win totals before. So, I don't know, man.
Ole Miss and Georgia will be a whole lot of fun because Lane Kiffin on a podcast said, Carson Beck, he's the number one player in the portal. Huh. Do you see what we did to him last year? I know he's not there at Georgia anymore. It'll be a fun game in Athens.
Yeah. Ole Miss, 8.5. Tennessee, 8.5. Indiana and Michigan, 8.5. Man, that's a juicy category right there. Shocker. We didn't get through it, but that's okay. We'll talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goetz. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7 and excited to welcome in our usual Thursday 2:30 guest. He is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. You'll hear him over on Wings 94.3 and across all the affiliates for the Auburn Sports Network this weekend as the Tigers host the Gamecocks of South Carolina beginning tonight at Plainsman Park. Brad, we appreciate you joining us, and at least today looks to be a beautiful day for baseball.
Yeah, we've got we got beautiful sunny skies right now, and excited to kick this series off. We had to watch the weather all weekend last weekend in Knoxville, and I think we played 17 or 18 innings of baseball, or at least 17 and a half, last Saturday, but didn't play one full game because of interruptions and resumptions. So hopefully that changes this weekend, and we can play a fairly normal schedule. We'll see.
Well, Auburn gets the start at 6 p.m. on ESPN2 tonight. Cam Tilley gets the start on the mound. And Brad, wanted your thoughts on it because, again, a little bit different hearing that name go on game one, but Auburn baseball wanting Dutton to get the usual days of rest, him to go on the traditional Friday nights. Wanted your thoughts on that, where you have some of these guys coming in different spots, but how important and how big could that be for the Tigers having your ace go in game two?
Yeah, Kristen, I think that this is really was necessary because Sam Dutton's start last week actually came on Saturday. It was game one of the series, but it was pushed back, and he didn't pitch until Saturday. So do you want to bring him back with two fewer days rest or just one? And so that's what Butch Thompson and Everett Tiefert got together and decided, let's bring him back on just one day of rest rather than two, and then depending on how Cam does this weekend, do you move him up one more day and go Thursday, because you're Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week too. So does Dutton continue to pitch on Friday, or do you move him into the Saturday role next week? And I think a lot of that will be, or rather the Thursday role next week. And a lot of that will be decided, I think, by Cam and the start that he gives you in tonight's ball game.
Well, yeah, Tilley tonight, Dutton tomorrow, and then Chatterton will be going on Saturday. And with that, I want to flash back to Tennessee series because those guys pitched incredibly, so much so that Christian Chatterton earned SEC Freshman of the Week. And we had a chance to talk with him this week here on the show, and he talked about the confidence that they have in him and how he's really coming into his own. And the fact that you got a freshman, Brad, in the starting rotation for Auburn this late in the season is pretty remarkable.
Well, and I love Christian's journey so far this year. Chat was in the opening weekend starting rotation. He started opening weekend. He started, in fact, every weekend of non-conference play. And so they trusted him, and they had enough belief in him right from the start of the season. And then his first three SEC starts didn't go great. He was okay against Vanderbilt, but, step up in competition, and they hit him a little more than the other teams did, and Then Georgia and Kentucky, and they really, you know, he didn't get out of the first inning in those games. Got squeezed, frankly, in both those games by the tightest strike zones we've seen all year, but they hit him better too. And, you know, he moved back into a midweek role and got back the command, especially the changeup that they saw in him before the season started. And so I love that journey. He didn't pack anything in. He didn't stop working. He didn't pout. He said, how can I best help this team? Is it out of the bullpen? Is it in a midweek role? And he was just so consistent over four straight midweek starts, including two over Georgia Tech, that he's earned another shot against SEC teams on the weekend. It certainly passed his first test, coming back on short rest after a midweek start against Samford.
Yeah.
Passed the test against Tennessee, and now excited to see what he does. Again, moved up a day, but, you know, he didn't pitch in a midweek game, so we'll kind of see how long he can go in that finale.
Brad, we've talked a little bit throughout the week and I guess throughout the course of the season as how you feel like this has been a tale of two different sides, obviously on the mound and at the plate, but both have gone through their ups and downs, a little bit of a roller coaster on both sides where sometimes it feels like the offense gets credit for the win. Sometimes it's the entire staff that gets credit for the win. Do you feel like the series in Knoxville was one of the first that you've seen where both put it together completely? And that even goes back to the game two loss where you lost in 11 innings. But again, when you're only allowing a team like Tennessee, who has hit 100 home runs on the season at their home park, to one run, five runs, and then one run, seven runs in three games, you feel like you put it together. And then again, the offense coming to life as well. With the remainder of this year, with South Carolina and Ole Miss, would you feel more confident in the plate or the guys on the mound if you had to choose one to really shine this weekend starting tonight?
Yeah, that's a real good question, Christian, because I don't know that I could make that pick. The pitching has been consistent, and what you saw last week with Chatterton and then Cade last four innings, you talk about the culture of the team, another guy who didn't pout, didn't hang his head, didn't miss a weekend. Like, he got moved from a starting role to the bullpen, and he came out and shoved it for four innings and closed out the series. And a series win over Tennessee was just dynamic. So, you know, the idea of looking forward, a Chatterton to Fisher and a Dutton to Hetzler and a Tilley to whomever, and have so many options in the bullpen, that feels like a strength. And now, but you look at the offensive side, and now, you know, Chris Rembert is, you know, probably, if you start diving into the numbers, he has the best numbers offensively of any freshman in the SEC. Wow. And that's not hyperbole. I don't mean he's got some of the best. He's got the best batting average among freshmen. He's got a .480 on base percentage in league games. Those are best in the league among freshmen. And Chase Frelick has been consistent. His numbers are just as good as any other freshman in that discussion for freshman of the year. And Cooper McMurray has five multi-hit games in his last seven. And you've got other guys who are hitting above .400 in conference play at home, and you're looking at hosting a regional if you take care of business and possibly a top eight seed. So you're going to play a lot more games inside Plainsman Park. It's tough for me to separate the two because both give you a lot of really justifiable, objective reasons to be excited.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7 every single Thursday at this time, and always look forward to this conversation. And we look to what stands in front of Auburn starting tonight with South Carolina, a team that by the numbers is the second lowest team in the SEC standings, just 5-19 on the year, 26-23 overall. And not that Auburn should expect to sweep, because you know how difficult that is, and I've talked about that on this program, but Auburn has a real opportunity to stack some wins this weekend, Brad. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. And you're right. Expecting a sweep is tough, but I understand why people do it. With great respect, I know the team respects every opponent, and we will call the game, respect every opponent and the people involved, but you know, you swept LSU. You're a pitch away from sweeping Tennessee. You're a pitch away from sweeping Alabama. You know, it's realistic to think you could have swept three SEC opponents this year. And South Carolina's numbers and RPI and every other metric aren't as high as those others. It's just so tough to do. The goal going in is you try to win a series. Can you get two wins in a series? And I think that's kind of the thought again. If you win two more series to close out the year, it gives you 17 wins. You've got to be a lock to be a national seed at that point. I think for Auburn this weekend, though, looking squarely at South Carolina, do what you did successfully in Knoxville a week ago, and that is don't give them free base runners. They may have the second lowest batting average in the SEC, but these are college hitters. These are SEC players. They can make you pay if you walk guys all over the ballpark, if you hit them, or if you don't hit your spot and you leave something over the plate. They're good enough to do that if you don't lock in defensively, on the mound, and at the plate. Mm-hmm. This is an Auburn team that has everything out in front of it, and I would hope that we see them come out and play. I would expect that we see them come out and play with a hunger and an edge this weekend.
Auburn and South Carolina doing battle starting tonight, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, Brad, it's about this time of year on a series like this where the emotions begin to run a little bit high. Again, graduation and senior day both taking place this weekend. Senior day especially celebrated for the baseball team on Friday. Emotions would be a little bit higher if there was not postseason aspirations and you feel like the regional, where you know that this is most likely not your final game and series here at home, but still a very, very important series to recognize your seniors and be able to appreciate everything that they've done for you on the field.
Yeah, and some of these guys have been with the program for 4 or 5 years. Many have not. Some haven't, but many have. What I really like that Auburn started doing a couple of years ago is graduation on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these guys can't walk. You can't go through the actual commencement ceremony. So they hold one on the field, and they present them their diploma, and they walk across and shake the hands and get the pictures and have their name called. And that is today. That is today at 5:30. So if folks want to get to the ballpark early, we would encourage people to do that. Get to the ballpark before, I think 5:35 is technically when it starts, but get to the ballpark before 5:30 and watch and show your support. Let them hear your support as they have this commencement ceremony for the baseball players and those associated with the program.
Well, luckily today looks like the game, barring any, 18-inning, sort of a performance, it should look like the game gets in today. But I know there's weather in the forecast for possibly tomorrow evening. Saturday's looking a little sketchy as well. Do you have any updates that are for the people or any way for them to keep up with what could change or if there are any changes this weekend?
Yep. Shouldn't be a situation like last week, guys. I can just about guarantee we're not going to start a game in a driving rainstorm. Not going to start a game with a monsoon and very visible lightning off in the distance. We won't be doing that this weekend. I'll tell you, last weekend gives you an appreciation for how Auburn, from an administrative standpoint, handles weather. They communicate very clearly. They make decisions quickly. Sometimes you may not think so, but relative to what others are doing, man, this team makes quick decisions. They communicate effectively in venue and beyond, and so we're pretty fortunate to work with this group. No information right now. I know they're watching the weather forecast, and they'll monitor it. If it looks like we're not going to be able to get games in, or weather's come through at a certain time and they have to adjust game times, they'll do that. And however you get your Auburn baseball information, be it from ESPN 106.7 in this show, or Wings 94.3, or Auburn baseball on social media, it'll be communicated there effectively if there are any changes.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate that and looking forward to what is a really fun series, the last home series of the year in the regular season. They will have one more home game next week against Jack State on Tuesday, and we're hoping to have some postseason baseball over there at Plainsman Park, Brad, so hoping to see that come up in the next several weeks. Auburn will then go to Oxford, then you'll have Hoover for the SEC tournament. And as much fun as baseball is, there are other things going on around the spring sports world for Auburn. I know softball, of course, was eliminated from the SEC tournament a little early for Alabama. They now await to see their NCAA tournament hopes alive, and you got men's golf hosting. I mean, there's a lot going on around the Plains, huh?
There is, and tomorrow women's tennis is I guess they're in Durham to play Duke in what is the Super Regional round of the NCAA tournament. Auburn, the 9 seed, Duke, the 8. So Auburn is traveling for that. It's been a great season for Coach Szabo and that group. This is a fun time of year. Track and field, they're still competing and, have championships coming up as well. So, you get to graduation weekend and it starts to wind down a little bit, but it also means that you're going to start handing out some championships soon. So we encourage people to download the Auburn Game Day app and keep it here on ESPN 106.7 because I know you guys will be talking about it as well.
That is right. Well, hey, we always appreciate you and your time and your information, and we look forward to listening this weekend starting tonight for Auburn baseball against South Carolina, keeping up with everything else going on around Auburn athletics. Plug it all one more time. Tell people how they can find you and the broadcast with Andy Burcham coming up this weekend on the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, flip over Wings 94.3. We will go on the air at 5:45 this evening. First pitch at 6 o'clock for Auburn and South Carolina, and from there you'll get all the details on the rest weekend. These are very important games, and we look forward to seeing a big crowd at the ballpark, to hearing a big crowd at the ballpark, and we know that, again, you get to this time of year and the interest level spikes, it goes up even more, and we look forward to bringing these to you this weekend.
We appreciate the time, Brad. Have a great call this weekend for you and Andy. We'll talk again next week, all right?
Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. You can catch him over on Wings 94.3 starting tonight. First pitch at 6 o'clock. They'll go on the air at 5:45 on our sister station, Wings 94.3. We'll come back and wrap it all up here in hour number one on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll be making his way over to Plainsman Park coming up in just a little bit. And we're going to talk some more Auburn baseball throughout the show. And, man, I'm excited for this series. I'm excited because the potential that is there. And that's what we were kind of talking with Brad about, was it's hard in the SEC to get a sweep. I have to and want to remind fans, if you are just now coming into the SEC baseball thing or Auburn baseball or whatever, I mean, it's hard to sweep in the SEC, man. And I know teams have done it, but it's not easy. This is the best conference of college baseball, and it's not even close. Like, you can't expect a sweep. Expecting to win a series? Sure, absolutely. And I think that's the bare minimum for Auburn this weekend. Losing this series is a major disappointment against the second worst team in the conference.
Yeah, and again, you feel like it's somewhat ironic to say that South Carolina and Ole Miss are quote-unquote the easiest part of your schedule, and it's at the end of the year, but it's because you've already survived the gauntlet that you had for those six straight series a couple of weeks ago that made its way, and you saw that it take its toll. You also saw Auburn get a couple games that you felt like weren't necessarily theirs to win, but they found a way to do it. But you're right. You feel like this series right here, it's one where if you win two of three, you don't hear anything of it because it's halfway expected. Mm-hmm. If you win three, then you can sit there and, okay, look at how well Auburn's playing. You're coming off a series win in Knoxville. Now you're coming off a sweep against South Carolina. Now you're going to Ole Miss. You're going to Oxford, where if you could find a way to win that series, I'll say two words. National seed.
Boom.
That being said, you find a way to drop two of three against South Carolina. Then you feel like the mindset changes, and then you have to overperform in Oxford, and then even possibly so into Hoover as well, just to get back to where you are right now. And so that's why it shows that tonight is a very, very big game for Auburn to win. It's a very big start for Cam Tilley, because winning the series, not quite the rubber match, but the ability to get from 1-2 in the series could take place tomorrow night with Sam Dutton, your ace, going on the mound. You feel confident in a game like that and everything that he's been able to do. Oh yeah. And then you throw the SEC Freshman of the Week, Christian Chatterton, going in game three, trying to hopefully at that point seal the deal. Game one is so important for Auburn tonight. It starts on the mound. Again, Brad talked about it. Brad Law with the Auburn Sports Network, who we just got off the phone lines with. If you can eliminate any sort of free bases, free passes, it sounds very simple, stupid, but if you can throw the ball over the heart of the plate, not the heart of the plate, but throw the ball over the plate.
Throw it middle-middle,
yeah,
see middle, if they can hit
middle,
it.
Middle-middle, 92, and
these
then just test
guys
them.
Stink! Yeah. Throw it over the middle.
But simple, stupid, if you can throw the ball over the plate time and time again and live near the strike zone, that's what you saw Auburn in Knoxville. They were able to get a couple of those calls on the black or maybe even a little bit below because they threw 65, 70% strikes.
And then just get outs.
And then you just got outs.
Yeah.
If that's what Auburn is able to do this weekend, you trust the bats at home. You trust the fans at home. Everything else will fall into place. Game one tonight is huge for the Auburn Tigers.
In comparison, Ole Miss, who Auburn goes to next week, which could be a series that determines if you are a national seed, a.k.a. hosting a super regional or not if you get that far, they're coming off a series loss against Oklahoma. They're in Stark Vegas this weekend. They're taking on Mississippi State, who is not great according to the record. Mississippi State is 10-14, which isn't hateful, but that's a rivalry series, and it's on the road in Starkville. Ole Miss drops that series. Auburn takes care of business against South Carolina. All the momentum is with the Tigers when they head to Oxford next
week. All
the
momentum is with the Tigers, but all the eyes are on the Tigers tonight as they are the one SEC game taking place Thursday night. ESPN at 6 p.m. and at Wings 94.3 starting at 5:45 as well.
Got to be a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that in hour number two. Plus, on the show tomorrow, we'll give you some high school sports updates in hour number two. And then Dylan Cardwell will join us in the second hour on the air. No Chris Gordy, but we replace him for the day with Dylan Cardwell. Our final Tiger takes with him. We recap the basketball season and a whole lot more. That's coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get underway in the second 60 minutes of today's program. And if you missed any of the first hour, we had a lot of fun. We've been talking and slowly working our way through projected win totals in college football this season for the SEC and the Big Ten. We made it from 6.5 wins through 7.5 wins and kind of through 8.5 wins. So we're slowly getting through all of that. And so I had some really fun conversations, though, with that. Talked some Auburn baseball. Talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network about this series against South Carolina that begins tonight at Plainsman Park. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can catch it with the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, going to talk a little bit of Auburn basketball talk. Is Auburn putting too much stock into Tahad Pettiford returning to the Plains? And what does Auburn look like if he does not? As Auburn is still also searching for that final big man piece. Going to have a little bit of conversation about that. All of that leading up to our 3:30 segment. And no Chris Gordy here this afternoon. Usually joins us every week on Thursdays at 3:30. But now we get to talk with Dylan Cardwell, the final Tiger Takes interview that Jacob was able to put on with Dylan. Talk a little bit about a recap of the entire season, what he has for the future. Really, really excited for that. You definitely want to stay tuned at 3:30. And we had initial ideas, and we might kind of fluctuate this into a little bit of our our later on episodes or kind of push this a little bit until tomorrow, but had a little bit of an update that there was somebody that we were able to talk to. And before we get into content here in hour number two, we want to remind you that it's brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them for sponsoring the second hour here of our show each and every day, Monday through Friday on ESPN 106.7. And I mentioned it. We're starting it off here in hour number two, talking with a guy. I heard he's driving, but he's always jumping around. And I can't see it, but you can kind of hear it in the distance. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Are we playing the fight song, Mr. Jack Hutton?
You better start playing the fight song. This was something else that Auburn High School went through yesterday, and I'm excited, man.
Well, break it down for us. Auburn High softball worked their way through the area tournament after finishing second in the area in the regular season, finished second in the area tournament. That's all you had to do to get to the regional tournament, and you got to finish top two in the regional tournament to get to the state tournament. And that's what Auburn High School did. They went to Montgomery, fell to Enterprise in game one, took down Daphne in game two, thanks to a Daley Alsobrook go-ahead two-run shot, and then a no-hitter pitched yesterday against Enterprise again to get Auburn High to the state tournament.
Yeah, and to kind of set up the scene for you guys and in our audience, I mean, this was a program that the last 4 years, Auburn hasn't been to a state tournament. And, you know, no, the state tournament is not a state championship game. I mean, you're still going to have to go through an 8-team field to get there. But, you know, I kind of liken it to the College World Series in a way. And obviously it's not a nationwide thing, but it's the College World Series for the state of Alabama softball, if you will. It's going to be an 8-team tournament in Oxford. And Auburn hasn't been there in 4 years, since 2021. And so the first year that we did Auburn High softball was that 2022 season. So it was right after that. And you had Matt Hendricks, the 11th year man now at the helm for Auburn High. He came on to that program actually right after I graduated from there. So he's a bit of a dinosaur like I am. But 2022 to 2025 or so, you weren't getting a whole lot of postseason success for this Tiger squad. You know, they had made the regional tournament every year, and so we had come to that field, Lagoon Park in Montgomery. We'd come to that field the last few years, and we'd come away a little heartbroken each time. Auburn made it to a deciding game three, two of the 3 years that I went with them to Lagoon Park, but never could get the big win. And so you came into this yesterday with a couple of the girls on the team. They had been on that original team that we had started broadcasting back in 2022. And so their entire Auburn High career, they had not gotten a taste of the state tournament. And so now what they did yesterday means even more than it would to a lot of other programs, because they're finally able to get over that hump. And just being able to watch the growth and the story of those girls and the story of this program continue with a berth in the state tournament, you know, Coach Hendricks talked about it yesterday on the post game. He kind of mentioned that this was a relief for a lot of the girls, a lot of what his thoughts were, not just for this entire season, but for the last 4 years of coming oh so close and not being able to land the final blow. And boy, Auburn did it in a big way. They got the no hitter from a sophomore, Lily Brewer, who has been electric. She was a really good arm for Auburn last season. Maybe wouldn't really call her an ace last year, but I would definitely put her in that category this year. She pitches 16 of the 21 innings that Auburn needs this past week to get Auburn into this state tournament round. And we're going to have all those calls for you on WLE 96.3. But, yeah. Boy, I'm so proud of this team and everything they've done this year.
Well, it sounds like, and we've been listening and, of course, keeping up with you, and it's been an amazing journey, and you do a great job over on the Auburn High Sports Network, and glad to have you with me during our baseball broadcast, and you've done an incredible job with the softball broadcast. And I actually pulled up the bracket this morning just to kind of look through and see some of those names. Auburn's going to start with Daphne, right? You have Daphne in there. Sparkman's in there. Central, of course, is in there. I believe Tuscaloosa is in there. I mean, there's some solid teams that are going to be making their way down to Oxford, huh?
Yeah, definitely so. And, you know, there was some rain down in the Gulf Shores Regional this week that Auburn is paired up with. But Daphne comes out of there as the one out of Gulf Shores. And so they'll get the and it's kind of a pseudo-seeding method, but they get the 4 seed. Auburn High will be the 5 seed in Oxford. And so that opening round game, yeah, you'll get Daphne, who Auburn actually was beaten by last year. They played against Daphne in the regional tournament before restructuring this year, put Enterprise and Dothan back in that bracket. But Auburn had to go through this Daphne team a season ago, played Vic Moten and those Daphne girls to a 1-0 loss. Moten, of course, the pitcher that's on her way to Alabama next year, and so just a really, really tough arm to face, and they were able to get the 1-0 win yesterday that they fell to last season. So that's going to be an interesting matchup, just because Auburn's going to get a second chance to go against that Trojan program that has been really good in the past. You know, you got to give a lot of credit this past week. Of course, the seniors all had great weeks. You know, you look at, of course, what Lily Brewer did, the sophomore in the circle. But I think you got to give a lot of credit to somebody like Olivia Harris at the top of the order. You know, she was able to get things started there that final day that brought home the run for Auburn. And then from there, you know, Lily Brewer just kind of took it and said, hey, that's enough for me. You know, score me one run and I'll go out and retire every hitter I face except for two, and I'll get us a win. So I think just looking at the top of the order, you know, not quitting this weekend, it was Olivia Harris. It was Daly Alsobrook on Tuesday with a big two-run shot to win that one for the Tigers. And so just, I mean, everybody really contributing this week really did a lot of good. You had some, yeah, you had some big clutch hits from Jada Esters and from M.A. Grace, L.R. Sawyer the first day. I mean, just all these names were getting in and contributing. And I think that's what's so great about this Auburn team is that though they may not be the most talented team in the state, they work together better than just about anybody, and that's what's got them in the state tournament now.
Well, both teams in Auburn, the Auburn area, Auburn and Lee Scott, again, we'll give a big shout-out to Lee Scott here as we're going out. But, again, congratulations to Auburn High Softball and to you for being able to be a part of the broadcast you mentioned on 96.3 W. Lee. Also want a little bit of your thoughts, again, with Auburn and South Carolina, Auburn University baseball over at Plainsman's Park starting tonight. Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, you have Cam Tilley on the mound tonight. One of your thoughts, we just got off the phone with Brad Law a few moments ago, where he'll be calling the game on Wings 94-3, but Auburn mixing up the rotation a little bit, trying to get things back to normal with the rain delays and everything you saw in Knoxville. Now possibly some weather delays this weekend, but you now have Dutton going on Friday, your game two guy. How big is game one? How big is a start going to be for Cam Tilley in game one tonight at Auburn?
Well, guys, I hate to parrot the great and powerful Brad Law, But, I think a lot, and I was listening a little bit, but I think a lot of what he says obviously is going to apply tonight. You know, I think for Cam Tilley, the big question for him, the stuff is there for Cam. You know, when he is in the zone, he is difficult to hit just because of the movement and the velo and the things like that that he produces when he's pitching. I think for is going to be, can he keep it in the strike zone? Because walks have been a little bit of an issue for him this year. You know, the strike percentage is not what the rest of the team is. And so that's the big question for him is, can he stay in the zone? If he can, I think this is a game where Cam Tilley could give you more than just the 3 or 4 innings that you've gotten used to him giving you. I think this is a game that Cam Tilley could give you some good starter innings, maybe not like a Sam Dutton outing, but I think that Cam could give you 5, maybe even get into the 6th inning if you give him a long leash like that, if he can stay in the zone. You know, this is a series that, look, if Auburn comes out of here with a series win, that's what you expected. But you would probably have to go to Ole Miss and win two there.
Yes.
If you want to shore up a top eight seed. And, of course, that's going to be hosting a super regional if you get that. I think, guys, if Auburn were to sweep this weekend and then just be tasked with going and getting one in Oxford, I really think that is going to get you a top eight seed. I think 17 wins is going to do it just because of the RPI and the SOS. And so, look, I think Auburn is obviously going to have to play a really sound game. They're going to have to do things well on both on the pitching end and the offensive end. But I think if you're Auburn, you got to keep doing what you're doing. I mean, throwing strikes and not allowing free bases has been so big for this team. And you guys know how big I am on this. Jacob, I sat with you in Irvington, Alabama a couple of weeks ago and harped on this way more than anybody wanted me to. Christian, you and I have talked about this in conversations off air all the time, but I mean, however important you think it is not to walk guys, especially to lead off an inning, you don't think it's important enough. I mean, it is so crucial to not give up free bases, especially in amateur baseball and amateur softball. And if Auburn continues to do that, they're going to be so difficult to beat. If you get into a super, you got Sam Dutton in that Friday night spot, Christian Chatterton, of course, has been surging these past few weeks. They're going to be so difficult to beat, especially at home, if they can get into that. And so this is shaping up to be really special. But if I'm Auburn this weekend, I think you got to be in attack mode and obviously take one game at a time, but be looking to get all three.
Jack Hutton joining us on the phone lines. We appreciate you calling in, buddy. Good to hear from you. I know you're driving back from a work thing, and so I appreciate you hopping on, talking a little Auburn baseball, and shouting out the Auburn High Lady Tigers with the softball program. Plug those games again. You're going to be down there, what, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, right?
Yeah, we hope it'll be both Tuesday and Wednesday if the Tigers can continue to win. And so, yeah, we'll have that for you. Over on WLE 96.3. I'm still waiting on game times for that, but it will be Auburn and Daphne likely in the morning. It'll probably be anywhere from around 9 to maybe 11 a.m. in the morning. And so it'll be early morning softball for you. Put those earbuds in at work and join me on the call on WLE 96.3, where I'll have all that action for you that day. Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a fun season so far, and these girls, they really deserve any attention that they can get on them because they put in some work and they're headed to the promised land next week.
We appreciate it, Jack. Always great to talk to you, and safe travels back into Auburn, all right?
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Jack Hutton, voice of Auburn High School softball. Also does some work with Auburn University baseball, joining us, and glad he was able to call in and talk a little bit about both things. And so appreciate him calling in. Again, if you want to check that out, he's going to be on the air next week. That's on Tuesday, hopefully Wednesday as well, on the Auburn High Sports Network on 96.3 WLE. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little Auburn basketball before we get Dylan Cardwell on the show. He joins us for our final edition of Tiger Takes this year, brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. All that coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, thanks to our good buddy Jack Cutton joining us on the program, calling in, talking a little Auburn High softball, also a little Auburn University baseball. Auburn High softball will be in the state tournament Tuesday next week down at Chocolaco Park in Oxford, Alabama. So shout out to them. You mentioned it as well, Christian. Shout out to Lee Scott for making
their
their softball team is going to be playing in the state tournament. Also shout out Auburn High girls soccer for winning in the Final Four. They're going to be playing in the state championship game. So all sorts of good stuff going on here in the area for our high school teams.
It is, yeah. I mean, you feel like there's so much going around right now, and obviously some of the bigger sports take a little bit more of the focus, but man, you dive into it and you see that there is so much success in both of these high school programs right now, Auburn High School and Lee Scott Academy. Man, you feel like both of these teams are but both of these programs have so much success, and to see so many of these kids still playing their sports at such a high level as they make their way even almost into the summer is still such a fantastic sign. And again, we're so happy and so proud to be a part of it.
To be fair, I was pulling up the Auburn High soccer post just to make sure I got my information right in terms of who they beat and what they're going to be doing. So, yes, Auburn High girls soccer took down McGill Tulane 3-0. So they're going to be facing off against Vestavia on Saturday at 11:30 up in Huntsville in the state championship game. So super cool there. And I was able to go out on – what day was that? Tuesday, I think, to Auburn High School for spring practice for football with Coach Etheridge. They're out there with spring practice underway right now. They got a couple of weeks of that. So I'm going to try and get a couple of viewing windows, and then they have a spring game coming up next Thursday at the Duck. So looking forward to that. And Auburn High football, man, they got some new names, some new faces over there. Got a couple of quarterbacks that are going to be going after the starting job with Jackson Kilgore no longer there. Omar Mapson not the running back anymore. So going to have a couple of names fighting for that spot. But that defense is going to be nasty, man. You got an Arkansas commit now on the defensive line for Auburn High. A couple of your linebackers are back. Secondary solid. I mean, it's going to be a fun team for Auburn High. And so what's crazy is that's right around the corner, too. We've got the rest of May, June, July, and then boom, it's football season. I mean, we're 3 months away from August when football starts. Like, think about that for just a second. We're less than 3 months away. We're a week into May. We're a week into May as we speak. And does Lee Scott open up on that 22nd also, August 22nd for football?
I believe y'all's is that Thursday, right? Because y'all got moved because Auburn University plays.
We play the August 22nd's the week before that. We play the Thursday the next week. High school will start the week before the university will. Yep. So we play on that 22nd on a Friday. The next week we play at Vestavia on that Thursday. Yep.
Yes. So both Lee Scott Academy and Auburn High School starting. And you're at home too, right?
On the 22nd? Yep.
So both
at
home.
Play Booker. Yep.
And Auburn,
it's a team down in
Florida. Or Lee Scott Academy playing Alabama Christian Academy. So two really big matchups in the Auburn area.
Want me to get you excited? We're 106 days away from August 22nd.
That excites me, but man, that also feels like that scares me with how fast everything is moving.
It's crazy. I mean, it seems like it legitimately feels like I was just over at Auburn High inside the gym calling basketball games against Central and Opelika in area play. And here we are. Basketball season ended. Baseball season flew by.
Yes.
And now you and I are in the off season. Softball, again, for both of our squads are in state tournament. But, summer. Well, and that's the thing with the sports calendar now. It's just the off season, the quote unquote off season, has shrunk significantly. And funny enough, Doug and I were talking about this today when I visited with him on the Max Roundtable. His point was the fact that him and I, in a 15-minute visit, the first 10 minutes had nothing to do with football. We talked about baseball. We talked about golf. We talked about the portal. I mean, we talked about all these different things. And the quote off season for sports has shrunk so much because everything starts earlier and ends later. And right now, of course, it'll be a lot of college baseball, college softball, still have high school sports going on. The portal just ended, really. I mean, the portal really just stopped for basketball and for football, where basketball you could still make an addition or two. But you'll get through May. You'll have baseball into June. July is talking season, but then you start talking about position battles, and all of a sudden SEC Media Days creeps up on you in that third week of July, and then boom, once the calendar flips to August, it's football season.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be you feel like half of May, all of June, and the first half of July was, oh man, I want something to talk about. I want something to watch. Now you're watching it with college baseball. Again, you mentioned it with everything kind of expanding, where you have the shorter off seasons. I mean, it happens with the school years as well, but I mean, you're looking at college baseball right now to where the selection show is May 26th. You then have the regionals that following, or that same week on May 30th through June 2nd. You then work your way through the Supers, and the first day of the College World Series starts June 13th. You won't have a winner until June 22nd. I mean, that gets you all the way through June, and not saying that schedule has necessarily flipped on its head or expanded, but I mean, you feel like there's just so much to talk about all the time. And although we may be in the off season for high school stuff, on the line here on ESPN 106.7. We don't know what that word necessarily means.
Boom. No. No, I mean, there's always... One thing I've learned in my just over 3 years of radio, there's always something to talk about. And I think with that, that's what is so exciting. And, you know, we're in May, and we're still able to talk about basketball stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk basketball here in a minute with Dylan Cardwell for our final Tiger Takes interview brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. But something that you've brought up is the idea that, and we have a couple of minutes, the idea that, is Auburn putting too much stock into Todd Pettiford returning? Are they banking on it too hard? Are they not banking on it enough? I mean, depending on what projections you look at, he's a late first rounder now. All of a sudden, overnight, it seems like Todd Pettiford's now potentially a late first round draft pick.
Yeah, and the talks that he's had as of late, talking with a couple of the coaches and some of the draft scouts and a couple people again back at Auburn trying to get as much information as they can. As of where he sits right now, he's trying to get a lockdown contract, basically, where there's nothing up in the air, whether that's two-way with G League or anything like that. But he wants a for-sure contract, basically going ahead and stapling out, concreting in the next couple of years of his future. And if he doesn't get that, then the return will be to Auburn. But, man, you just feel like the more and more you hear things like that, feels like it just brings a little bit more concern selfishly. Again, this is nothing personally with Todd Pettiford because we want the absolute best from him. And if it's making it to the NBA after year one and that's where he can have so much success, then that's where we hope that he goes. That being said, selfishly, you hope that he has one more year on the plains.
Would you say that it's a lottery pick for him to be comfortable with a contract, the money, and playing time? I mean, would you say that that's where he's trying to get to, is to be a top 15 draft pick in the NBA? For him to be comfortable
sure.
with all that terminology?
Yeah.
Do you think he's a lottery pick?
I think next year, after he wins SEC Player of the Year, yes.
I don't think he's ever going to make it. I think he's so bad. I think Todd Pettiford might be the worst guard I've ever seen.
Four-year starter at Auburn, man. So unfortunate.
I mean, it may take him 8 years to get where he needs to go. And if that happens to all be in Auburn, I guess. We'll take him under our wing.
You can get that now. We could even get Devin Cambridge, who just got confirmed for his seventh year of college basketball.
That's
so
brutal.
He's 26. Auburn. Make a phone call.
Hey, man, if you're not a granddad, we don't want you at Auburn. And speaking of older players, Dylan Cardwell joins us coming up next for our final segment of Tiger Take. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, and for the final time. Now, I know basketball season is a little past us now, and it's been a few weeks, it's been a little over a month, but for the final time here in 2025, we are joined for Tiger Takes, brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn from Auburn Basketball Center, Dylan Cardwell. Dylan, it's so good to hear from you, my man. We're excited to have you back on the air one more time, and I know it's been crazy for you and since the season has ended, but man, it's good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be back.
Well, there's so much to talk about and so much to kind of recap from what was an incredible run in the NCAA tournament. And I know you've been going through a lot of the NBA draft process. We're going to talk about all of that as we go. But man, I know this season, it didn't end the way you wanted it to, but this had to be one of the most fun seasons that you've been a part of in your entire time of playing basketball.
Yeah, most definitely. They say, you know, time flies and you're having fun, and you know, boy, did it fly. I feel like just, you know, a couple months ago we were in Maui, but that's almost dang, that's almost like 8-9 months ago at this point. So it's just kind of crazy how fast this year flew by. This is the most special team I've ever been on, and I'm gonna miss it, but man, like, yeah, we had fun, we made history, but yeah, boy, we have fun.
Well, what about this team off the floor made it so special? I mean, you and I talked all season long back in non-conference play after, you know, you guys beat Houston and Iowa State and North Carolina. You mentioned Maui. I mean, got to take a trip to Cameron Indoor. You smacked around Purdue a little bit, and then SEC play got started. And we'll talk about all of that here momentarily. But what made this team so special off the floor, Dylan, and why you say it's the best team you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, man, just the camaraderie, just the friendship and the joy and being in each other's presence, like, it's something I've never really seen before. And it was a special team. Like, we were all brothers, and I truly believe that, like, each and every one of us are going to be in each other's lives for the rest of our lives. And man, it was just an amazing, amazing special team. There's never really, like, a sad or boring day. Every day was full of some fun with that team. And so, man, like, it was crazy. We had deep conversations in Bible study. We traveled the world together. We won together. You know, we did a lot together as a group, as a unit. And that's really what was different was, man, it's just like an actual team, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like, too, in today's era, thanks to social media and the smartphones and things that we have, I mean, hopefully you guys are able to all stay in touch and kind of keep up with each other's lives, whether it be in professional basketball or in the professional world, whatever the case may be. Hopefully you guys are able to keep up with each other and stay in touch for years to come.
Yeah, I'm excited for, you know, our 20-year anniversary for the Final Four, and we'll recognize that, you know, football games and basketball games it's like we're going back to 2004, you know, team that's got recognized this past year, but in football. But man, I'm excited to be an old head and talk about, man, remember in the Final Four this, or remember that, or remember Maui this. Like, it was a crazy season, and we had one of the most, we had the hardest season in probably college basketball history, and we were pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'll never take that for granted.
I would say so. I think phenomenal is a very good way to describe it. As we're talking with Dylan Cardwell here on ESPN 106.7, is it going to hurt your feelings if I say former Auburn basketball player? Is that going to get you teary eyed, Dylan?
Oh yeah, no, not really. That door is kind of closed for me. I'm grateful that I had my 5 years, but I'm excited to move on to the next phase of my life.
Well, we're going to talk about that coming up here in just a little bit, but do want to flash back here and talk about the NCAA tournament. One that saw you guys get four wins against Alabama State, Creighton, Michigan, and Michigan State, and then ultimately falling to Florida in the Final Four. How would you describe the tournament itself, the teams that you played, the traveling, the guys that you were with, and the fact that you were able to get to the Final Four? How would you summarize all of that now that you have a chance to look back on it?
Yeah, the Final Four is really fun. Like, that is the Final Four, but just the journey is super fun. Like, it's just as high tension as it seems, it's pretty laid back. And just the journey itself, it's like, man, like, once you get past that first weekend, I mean, it's really exciting. You know, it's really exciting to go to a new spot, go to a spot you haven't gone before. The media, the media increases, the fans increase, everything's just way, way cooler, you know. And I just love the experience of, A, getting to the Final Four, yes, but just the journey and getting there in those four games, in those three different atmospheres that we were in. It was a dream come true for me because I've never been past the first weekend. And so to go all the way to the Final Four and, you know, seeing that, it was a dream come true for me because, like I said, there's not a more fun month of basketball than March Madness.
Oh, it was so much fun being able to watch you guys and talk about you guys and cover you guys. And look, I mean, you guys beat some serious teams. I mean, Creighton was no joke. Michigan is a really good team with all the storylines that went into that. And then taking down Michigan State to get to the Final Four, I mean, that's no joke. That was one of the hardest runs any team made. And then, look, you ran into the eventual national champions in the Florida Gators. I mean, that's nothing to be upset about, and I don't think you guys are. I think you understand how good they were and the fact that this was a really hard tournament to win.
Yeah, most definitely it was, and you know, congrats to the Florida Gators for the national championship. They got hot at the right time, and you know, they just didn't need to bother us. But yeah, I mean, March Madness is really not easy. Like I said, I've been in college 5 years, and I only have one Final Four in my name, only have one Sweet 16 in my name. So it's not easy getting to advance, and so I was just grateful to kind of be there. You know, yeah, it hurt not winning the national championship. At the end of the day, like, we did something that only two or three teams in Auburn history ever done. Only four teams, when you count only four teams in the state of Alabama that have been in the Final Four, you know, if you want to count that team from across the state. But it's really rare. You know, it's really rare to be a part of that. And it was the best Final Four in, you know, Final Four history. And I was a part of that. And I'll never forget that. I tell my kids that all the time, is that whenever I have kids, that there are 4-1 seeds and I was one of those 1 seeds. And so we were on a historical Final Four that will never be forgotten.
That's a really good perspective, man, and it shows just who you are and the mindset you have and the outlook that you have on life and everything about it. And don't want to harp on it too much, but I do want to ask you about that Florida team. What made them so good? What made them to where you guys fell to them in the Final Four and then eventually they went on to win the national title? I mean, what was it that in your mind, Dylan, that made that Florida team eventual national champions?
Yeah, they were just deeper than everybody else. Like, it was just crazy. They had so much depth. They played like 10 or 11 guys, it felt. And, you know, that's usually what we do. But we got down to a 7-man roster heading into March Madness, truly, with, you know, just Janai, myself, Tahad, Miles, Chaney, Chad, and Denver. We only played 7 guys over 10 minutes. Whereas last year's team for Auburn, we probably played around like 10 to 11 guys, double-digit minutes. So I think fatigue played a lot into it. But, yeah, they're just a deep team, and it's hard to have 7 guys, you know, battle as physically as Florida can for 40 minutes.
Well, they were really, really good, and it showed as they went on to win the national title. But doesn't take anything away from what Auburn did in their second Final Four appearance ever in the history of the program. And Dylan Cardwell of Auburn Basketball joining us here on ESPN. You were a part of that. And so how would you now that you've had a chance to not just the Final Four, not just this season, but your career at Auburn, one that will go down in history, one that will be remembered forever. You were a fan favorite and for so many reasons. I mean, what do you take away from your time at Auburn, whether it's in basketball or in life or in general, however you want to answer that question? What do you take away from your time at Auburn?
Yeah, being at Auburn was the best, you know, 5 years of my life. And I'm just grateful to have been an Auburn man. It was really fun. Like, I always know I've been spamming that word a lot, but that's just life for me. Life was fun at Auburn. And Auburn just gave me access to so many things that I would have never had access to if I didn't go to Auburn. And so Auburn for me was a dream come true. I'm just amazed about how fast time flew by, but also how many people I met along the way and how I developed into a man along the way. So it's been a great run. And I think, you know, obviously going down as the winningest player in Auburn history, I don't think they're going to be touched ever again, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, hey, man, hang that banner. That's right, man. Winningest player in the history of Auburn basketball, Dylan Cardwell. And unfortunately, you don't have another year of eligibility. We could try, but I don't think they were going to give it to you. So you unfortunately aren't able to come back to Auburn, but you're not done. You are pursuing a professional career in the game of basketball. So what have you been up to since the season ended? Kind of give us an insight to the listeners at home what you've been up to over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I have been just working out for the NBA teams. I am in Boston right now. I work out for the Celtics today, and I worked out for the Houston Rockets 2 days ago. And so I've just been doing that. I leave for Chicago tonight to go to the G League Combine. Lord willing, I'll get an invite to the NBA Combine while I'm up there. So I'm just working out for the NBA team. I've gotten a lot of good looks, got a lot of good feedback. Some teams are thinking about taking me in the second round, so I'm just grateful.
What's your pitch? What's your sell to these NBA execs, these coaches and executives that you're going to be talking to and working out for? Because I think your draft stock, my man, just skyrocketed this year because of the things you did in an Auburn uniform, whether it was your effort or your rebounding, your energy, your passion, and just your basketball IQ. I mean, all of that just came together for you to have the best season of your career at Auburn this past year. So what's your sales pitch to these teams for them to try and take you in the NBA draft?
Yeah, for me, it's not a real sales pitch. Just putting it, you know, just doing what I do in these workouts, doing what I did at Auburn, like putting it on film. And I can guard 1-5, obviously. I'm a great locker room guy. I'm also a winner. And so I think a lot of teams know what they're getting whenever they bring me in. I believe there's a spot for me on every roster. You know, those guys like Jalen Duren, Steven Adams, Onyeka Okongwu from the Atlanta Hawks. There's a bunch of lob threat bigs in the NBA. And just because I can't shoot the three yet, that doesn't mean I'm not an NBA player. There's a bunch of NBA bigs that are there playing their role. And so I'm pretty confident I could play for any team, any roster. And, yeah, I'm going to be good doing that. But yeah, for me, there's no pitch, man. I'm really just physical. I'm really tough. And I believe every team needs a Dylan Cardwell, whether you're, you know, an elementary school team or an NBA team. Every team needs me.
I love that. That's so awesome, man. And there's just, you can't argue that. There's nothing to say against that. And man, we're just so excited to follow you and keep up with what happens with you and your professional basketball career and just your life from beyond Auburn. And man, this has been so much fun to have you a part of Tiger Takes. It's been brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. You can check them out and make your next reservation online at 12ksalon.net. This has been such a privilege for us to have you here on ESPN all season long. I mean, 4 months going strong, man. This has been something that the fans have absolutely loved, and I know it always wasn't easy to hop on talking after losses and things. There weren't many of them, though, so that was nice. But, man, we just appreciate your time this year, and this has been so much fun. I hope you know that.
Yes, sir, thanks for having me. My life would be the same without y'all.
Well, man, we appreciate it. Again, Dylan Cardwell joining us here on ESPN 106.7. Our final rendition of Basketball Tiger Takes all season long has been brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Dylan, War Eagle, my friend.
War Eagle.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Man, cannot say enough good things about Dylan Cardwell. You heard me say, was it going to make him tear up if I said former Auburn basketball player? And man, how awesome was it to have him here on the station all year long? That interview always played during the drive on Thursday afternoons. The guys were able to play it. I was always able to talk to Dylan in the mornings, and Bill and Dan played it on their show in the afternoons. But I was able to get him for one last interview for Tiger Takes, which all season long for football, basketball, and baseball, as those are still going on with Derek Fabian on Mondays. That's all been brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Again, you can check them out and make your next reservation online at 12ksalon.net. That's where I go. Ryan does a fantastic job, so if you're looking to get a quick trim, do whatever you need to do, you can go to 12ksalon.net. And thanks to Dylan again for joining us. He's awesome, and he is the winningest basketball player in the history of Auburn basketball, and that's really, really cool. And the fact that he's now out there, Christian, flying around and working out for NBA teams. He was telling me he worked out for the Rockets. He's in Boston today. We recorded that this morning. He's working out for my Celtics today, and then getting on a plane and flying somewhere else to go and work out for these teams. I mean, I love what he said. Every team needs a Dylan Cardwell. Every team needs a me. And that's I just think that's so neat how he phrased that and worded that, because he's confident, not arrogant. He's confident, not cocky. And I told him his draft stock skyrocketed this year, and he's going to get a real shot to be an NBA player.
And that's all that you could ask for. I mean, his ability, he talked about it all season long, and even going back into 2 years ago, the mindset change that he had to go through. When Jani Broome made his way to the Plains, he admitted and talked all about it, of how he was frustrated at first because it meant that he was no longer going to be the guy that Auburn relied on. He was no longer going to possibly be that starting big man. And you saw that 2 years ago, and then there was the mindset change, and then all of a sudden you saw there was a lot of success. Bruce Pearl was able to talk with both of them and said, well, if you come back this next year, we're going to play both of you at the same time. And you saw the success that both of those guys had individually. You also saw the team success, what they were able to do as they made their way to the Final Four for the second time in program history. I mean, it's such a cool thing to be able to be a part of, and you see it, so many people, and I've got to see it from the outside in, now from the inside out, a little bit more of that perspective. I mean, somebody like him, where we've talked about it, he's not going to be the 20-10 guy that just goes out and individually wins you a game. That being said, a performance like what you've seen certain games throughout the year, he can. He can go out and impact. You saw the plus-minus almost every single time Auburn came out with a big-time victory. It was Dylan Cardwell at the very top, his plus-minus, and he did it without scoring. So many teams need a Dylan Cardwell, as he's mentioning, in this style of NBA, where he is not going to sit there and go, I need the ball in my hands. I need 12 shots a game minimum, taking that away from everybody else. No, let me go and do the dirty work. Let me get you the offensive rebound, kick it out to a three. How many times did we see that with him wearing an Auburn University jersey? I mean, see, somebody is going to be very, very happy, and man, he's going to be grateful. They're going to be grateful for him as well.
Yeah, we are grateful for him and his time all season long. So we appreciate him joining us one more time. Aired it here originally. The Drive, I believe they will play it tomorrow on their show. So if you missed that, our last interview with Dylan Cardwell, that you can hear that coming up on The Drive tomorrow. And, man, we've had a great show today. It's been a lot of fun. We've gone through a lot of content, had a lot of great guests, and it has flown by here today. We talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network back in hour number one about Auburn baseball as they get started against South Carolina tonight, 6 o'clock first pitch. In case you didn't know, they moved that game time up an hour for TV reasons, not for weather, but for TV reasons. They moved that up, so that's a 6 o'clock first pitch, 5:45 airtime over on Wings 94.3. Andy Burcham and Brad Law will have the call on the Auburn Sports Network. So we talked to Brad earlier today about that. Also talked to our good buddy Jack Hutton, the voice of Auburn High School softball, my broadcast partner on the Auburn High Sports Network, about Auburn High softball, and got his thoughts a little bit on baseball as well. And then you heard it right there. Dylan Cardwell. No Chris Gordy. Obviously, today he was unavailable, so we will pick back up with him next week. We also have talked Auburn baseball. We've talked win totals around the SEC and the Big Ten. And Christian, maybe tomorrow we'll finish that conversation. I mean, it's a 3-day ongoing conversation. Maybe tomorrow on Free For All Friday is the day. I mean, heck, we may as well just start it over tomorrow and just start from the bottom.
We might as well. I mean,
Mississippi State, baby.
All the way back to Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State. I mean, it's going to be a very, very fun conversation. Again, we went from 3 to 6 yesterday, only got through 7 and 8 today, or 7 and halfway through 8, just because there's so many teams that are just logpiled their way into the middle, and it shows you the strength at the top of both of these conferences about how you're seeing these teams like Auburn, like A&M, like LSU, just kind of thrown in that mix of, no, they could get 8, they could get 7, they could get up to 9. But those are teams that you feel like could make a very big impact this year. But it just goes to show you how tough the conference is going to be yet again, as it is every single year.
So we will definitely continue that conversation tomorrow, plus some fun basketball things in terms of the ACC scheduling, how they've changed it up a little bit. Auburn scheduling as well. Alabama just scheduled a big game today in Madison Square Garden. So a lot of that conversation. And a special guest will join us in the second hour of tomorrow's show. Only hint we'll give you, he's an Auburn football player, not from the United States. We'll leave it at that. That's a good enough hint until tomorrow. So Free For All Friday will be in full effect here from 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. If you missed today's show, check it out, ESPNAU.com. And we're back tomorrow right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.